Hi, everybody. Welcome to Segways to Success, an internet-based radio program that's dedicated to helping the privately owned company survive and thrive in today's challenging business climate. I'm Brent Hamacek, and normally this is where you hear somebody say, and I'm Tom Kuchin, but Tom has left the country and is overseas on business. And last week on our show, we talked about the election. And when we talked about the election, one of the predictions that I made is that I thought we would see an outflow of capital from the United States into foreign investments. Well, apparently Tom decided to hop on the ship and follow it. So I'm going to have to wing this a bit by myself, although we do have a great guest today. And we also have our producer, Mike Bowler, on the line with me. Mike, are you there?
I am, but I have some big shoes to fill with Tom not being here. I'm hoping that the election wasn't the reason that he went to the Mideast.
Well, we're actually not sure. He kept telling me that he had tickets before that, but I was never really able to confirm it. For all I know, he's not actually even really there anyway. But we know he's not with us today. There is a humorous story, though, about for people who travel on business and sometimes how you lose track of what time zone you're in, you know, exactly where you are and so on. Tom sent me an email yesterday that would have been about 24 hours ago at this time. And he said, I've been trying to dial in, and I can't get through. I'm frustrated. And I wrote back, and I said, what day do you think it is? So I'm telling the whole world that my friend and partner thought Tuesday was Wednesday. But when you're overseas, I guess anything's possible. So I won't give him too hard a time. So, Mike, right. Before I get to our guest, we got a great guest. I wanted to do, you know, we want to be famous doing this radio show. The reason we decided to do radio is we wanted to be famous. And so if you want to be famous, you got to pattern yourself after somebody. And so we had to pick someone. And we picked Oprah, you know, because
really?
Oprah's famous. And so the first thing that I've done is I've been eating a lot. So we're trying to get that part covered. Of course, Tom's a runner, so it won't work for him. But the other thing is that, you know, what does Oprah have that she recommends to everybody all the time?
You know, I got to honestly say that I've never watched the Oprah show, as shocking as that may be.
Well, I thought everybody watched Oprah. How do you know what to do if you don't watch Oprah? Well, let me give you a hint. Oprah has always had a book club, and I have been wanting since this show started to recommend a couple of books to the people that listen to this show. Now, this is a business program, and you would think that I'm about to recommend a couple of business books. And the truth is, I believe they are business books, but that's not the way these books were sold. And I'm going to butcher the name of both authors, but both of these books are actually about the human mind and how it works and how our understanding of it has changed over time. The first book is called Thinking Fast and Slow, and it's by Daniel Kahneman. He is a Nobel Prize-winning psychologist who won the 2002 Nobel Prize. And this book focuses on how our brain really operates with two different systems, System 1 and System 2. System 1 is the quick one, the impulsive one, the one that, tells you what to do if you see a light turn from green to yellow. What do you do when a light turns from green to yellow, Mike?
I tend to try to slow down.
Most people speed up
right
there through the intersection. But, you never know when a cop might be listening. In any event, this book talks about that System 1 brain that makes the quick decisions, the impulsive decisions that we tend to make, and System 2, which is more analytical, more reasonable, and more logical. And what he does through the course of this book is point out how, number one, System 1 really makes most of our decisions. And number two, System 2 is lazy. So when it does get called upon, it doesn't always do all the work it needs to do. And what it means to us is that human beings don't necessarily behave as rationally as we'd like to think that they do. And I say it's a business book because in the world of business, we too often don't take into account a real thorough analysis of situations and people that we're involved in. We tend to do things impulsively. And this book not only will challenge you in terms of how you see your situations and how you see others, it'll actually challenge you in terms of how you see you. So, again, it's called Thinking Fast and Slow. The other book I've got is called Subliminal. Another name I'm going to murder, Leonard Mlodinow, who is a physicist. He's wrote with Stephen Hawking on some of Stephen Hawking's stuff. So, you know, but he's not just into the stars. He's into the brain. And this book lets us know what it is that our brain knows just under the surface that we're not really even aware of. You know, so we all know about subliminal advertising and the impact that that could have. You know, it's illegal now. Remember they used to do it at the movie theaters? And
Right, exactly.
They trick you with the salt and all that stuff, and you go buy popcorn.
I think they did it on TV for a while, too, didn't they?
Yeah, they did it on TV, and all that stuff's illegal. But since you couldn't see it in the first place, I don't know how we're supposed to know if they're doing it. But what this book is about is how there is so much knowledge and so much is processed inside the brain that we're not even conscious of. And, again, you take these two books together, and I think that they can give for any business person a tremendous perspective, again, not just on others and not just on their circumstances, but on themselves. And so there's my stab at Oprah's book club. Now I've got to take a bite out of my donut. And then so if we're since we're talking about the brain, that provides a perfect segue, and we love segues, to bring in today's guest. And today's guest is Sue Solich, and Sue is an expert in, well, I'm going to let her tell you what she's an expert in, but let me tell you a quick personal story to share my perspective on her expertise. In my home, we have my 81-year-old mother who lives here. She came here 4.5 years ago to visit, and she never left. And she has full-blown late-stage Alzheimer's. And, you know, we're at the point now where we're sort of getting near the end. In fact, we have a home hospice service that comes to us, is paid for by Medicare, and is taking care of my mother in ways that as a family, even though we all pitch in, we never really could do. How did I find out that I could even do such a thing? Well, I found it out from Sue. I met Sue a few weeks ago at an event where Tom spoke before he left the country, and was really, really impressed. First of all, she's very funny, she's very sharp, and just a quality lady. But as she was telling me what she does, and as we got to talking, ultimately she recommended what we should do about my mother. And it's changed the lives of everybody in my house. Why didn't we do it before? Because we didn't have a clue. We inherited a situation that we didn't ask for and we didn't know anything about. How many people, Mike, do you think are out there right now taking care of elders or having to put them in homes or having them living on their own and they're worried about them and they don't know what to do?
I think that probably everyone knows someone that is in that situation, whether they're the caregivers or they have both the parental and the children responsibilities. It's tough.
And you know, as the population ages, the people that take care of those people are all in a workforce. And companies encounter lost productivity, absenteeism, and all sorts of problems because their employees are preoccupied with this. I know it firsthand. I've missed appointments. I've missed deadlines in my work because of something happening with my mother that I had to take care of. Well, Sue makes her living helping companies figure out how to deal with this. And she's written a couple of books. She's written a book called Just When You Think You Know What You're Talking About, Along Comes Grandpa, and another book called If I Walked in Her Shoes, which is a novel that is quite remarkable because it takes the story of a family caring for an elderly family member and turns it into real-life lessons. It's kind of like Atlas Shrugged, only with Depends. You know.
Right.
So what I'd like to do is bring Sue in. We'll let her tell you about herself, and we'll have a little conversation with her. And I would encourage people who are listening to this show today to share this broadcast when it's over as much as possible. So, Sue, are you there?
Absolutely.
I am here, and let me tell you, I'm just writing things down here because nobody has ever introduced my book or associated it with Atlas Shrugged, but with the past. So,
well,
I appreciate that.
I try to bring up Atlas Shrugged at least once.
Write down a little quote down to use it.
I think you can do that. It's I try to bring up Atlas Shrugged at least once per show, just on principle, but today was a natural way to do it. So
yeah, it just really flowed right in.
It did. I made it work. So let's start the obvious way. Tell the people who are listening a little about you, a little about your company and what you do. Give us the background, and then we'll get into the specifics.
Okay. As you said, I am Sue Salach, and I have worked in geriatric healthcare for over 20 years now, and realized during my career, as I was working in different areas of healthcare, that we were really missing the boat. We were missing getting the information to the people who really needed it. We focused a lot on those elderly, older adults and trying to market to them. And the reality is they are not the target audience. The target audience really was those adult children who, through some type of emergency, were now making very serious decisions for their family members in crisis situations. And as I was going through my career, it frustrated me that we couldn't get to those people because as we tried to do programs or educational forums, if they were caring for someone, they just didn't have the time to come to something like that. And if they weren't caring for someone, they weren't being proactive. Most of us don't go through our day saying, gee, you know what? My mom, yeah, she's doing good now, but maybe down the road she's going to have some issues. So I'll proactively go to an educational forum to see what I might need to know. People don't do that. We're not a proactive society. So 3 years ago, I started Aging Info USA with the mission of going into corporations and helping educate their employees on caregiving and aging issues, helping connect them to the right resources, which in turn decreases the stress level that caregivers have. If you've ever been a caregiver, which you know, Brent, it's very stressful. It's very overwhelming. And people are bringing that to work with them every day, which affects their productivity and also the productivity of all the people around them, because if they're not working up to their potential, it then falls on everyone else around them to have to pick up that slack. So that was the main mission of what we do.
Sue, when you said you started this about 3 years ago, is that right?
Right.
When you started 3 years ago with this concept and when you began to approach companies, just how green was the pasture you were in? Was anybody else doing this? Did you have trouble even getting somebody's attention because of the novelty of it? I'm really curious about how this was first received and what you saw when you stepped into the marketplace.
When we first stepped into the marketplace, nobody else was doing this. And really, I don't believe there are other people who are doing what we're doing, especially in the way that we're doing it. And when I started to approach the human resource managers to talk to them, all of them had a story, whether it was their own personal story of caring for somebody or working with their employees who were dealing with these issues. So they really grabbed onto it and could understand how this could really help their employees. The one thing that was challenging is getting them to understand that it's not only about your employees, but this is a win-win for the company as well, because when your employees are at work and productive and their stress level is down, then that helps the bottom line of the company. Companies lose an estimated $33 billion, with a B, dollars a year in lost productivity due to elder care issues.
How is that? Do you know how that statistic might be arrived at. I'm curious. That's one of those numbers where you hear it and people could be skeptical. Who studies this, or how do you study this? Do you know?
That was a study done by the MetLife Older Adult Institute. They actually do these studies in the workplace and gather that data. And what's amazing to me is, with all of the data that we have, all of the data of, again, $33 billion a year lost productivity, an estimated 21% of the workforce at any given time is caring for an aging loved one, and that number is projected to go up to 47% in the next 5 years. It's staggering, and to see that companies still aren't doing anything proactively or even reactively to help their employees has been such a challenge, because my mission in life is really to get to all of those companies, and because it doesn't matter whether you have 1,000 employees, 1,000,000 employees, 1 employee, at some point this is going to affect your company. When you're owning your own company. I mean, I've had to deal with caregiving issues of 2 of my family members over the last year. And like you said, you have to cancel appointments. You're feeling just like you're living in the chaos all the time, trying to make work and your life work together and have some kind of balance.
You know, and the people who are doing it, and we'll come back to the workplace part, but, you know, I'm thinking just here in our own experience, when we had the hospice nurse come to our home at first, we were doing, you know, the proverbial diaper change, and the diaper that the caregiver pulled out, I looked at it and I said, "What's that?" And she said, "Well, it's an adult diaper." And we had been using Depends in our house for 3 years. We'd been using Depends in our house. You know why? Because we didn't know anything else existed. It reminds me of, there's an old joke about a simple-minded guy who goes in and buys a chainsaw at the hardware store, and it's supposed to cut 3 cords of wood per day. And he takes it home, and the first day he cuts 1 cord, and the second day he only cuts a half a cord. And the third day he cuts a half a cord, and he brings it back to the hardware store, and he says, "This chainsaw doesn't work. I can't cut more than a cord of wood. It's supposed to cut 3 cords of wood a day." And so the guy says, "Let me see it." And he pulls the cord, and the saw goes vroom. And the simple fellow looks at him and says, "What's that noise?" You know, he didn't know that there was a better way to do it. And,
right.
And that's the way we were. And I've got to believe that there's just a lot of ignorance in the true sense of the word, the proper use of the word, out there
right.
amongst caregivers.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's an estimated 65 million family caregivers. And yet, just about once a week, I talk to somebody who shares with me how alone they feel in their caregiving journey. They don't know that there's other people out there who are dealing with these same issues. And again, you're dealing with that chaos, that stress. If you've been a caregiver, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And every morning, you're almost like a robot. You're just getting up and doing what you need to do to get through your day and to make life work. And you're not even understanding that there's a better way to do things, that there's services, there's programs, there's all of these resources out there that can help really give you quality of life, as well as give the quality of life to that person that you're caring for. And even, you know, when another reason why I started the company was people would go on the internet and they type in home health care. Maybe they don't even need home health care. They don't even know what they need, but they're typing in, you know, caregiving, and millions of sites are popping up. And who do you trust, and how do you know that you're getting the right information? How do you even know that? And so to have someone who knows what they're doing get that information is so helpful, as you know.
So going back to the corporate world, when you approach a company with your service, what is it that you're proposing to them that you'll be able to do to help address this problem?
Well, initially, the first thing that we do with any company is we do a survey of their employees. It's all confidential. It's done online. There's about 10 to 15 questions that they shoot out a link to their employees. The employees answer those questions, and based on that feedback that we get, sometimes it's even getting people to understand that they're a caregiver. Many people don't even know that they're a caregiver. They just know that they're spending a lot of time taking off work, going to doctor's appointments, or spending time on the weekend helping mom or dad. So we kind of walk through that whole process to help them understand they are a caregiver, and then to say, what kind of resources and information would you like? From that information, we then create educational forums, lunch and learn programs, wellness events to bring in different providers so they can meet with them one-on-one. We do also what's called navigating. We have a navigator who goes into the corporation and schedules 15-minute one-on-one appointments with employees to find out exactly what's going on in their situation and help create a proactive plan, or sometimes a reactive plan, to help them get to the right resources that they need right now and decrease that stress and, again, increase the productivity.
You know, to do this, if you're a company, and given the fact that there's not a lot of other people out there or any doing this, you by definition become the early adopter. And for a lot of companies, and especially when you're dealing with large companies and HR departments, being an early adopter is kind of risky. You know, there's that thought of, okay, well, this is terrific. Let's let 12 other people do it. And then come back. How much of that do you find? That because this is new and not familiar, you get resistance to trying to, even though it sounds, by the way, so almost intuitive that as soon as somebody would say it, you would say, yeah, that makes sense.
One of the biggest challenges has been companies, especially larger companies, when they have employee assistance programs. Employee assistance programs are wonderful services, and they provide a lot of great resources and assistance for the employees of a company. However, what I have found is that the majority of them have this little piece that says elder care in their list of services. And 99.9% of them really have no clue what that means. They don't really have access to services. What a lot of those employee assistance programs do is actually connect people who call in with geriatric care managers. I know this because being a member of the National Association of Geriatric Care Managers, I get those calls from the employee assistance programs looking for help for families. So that has been the big challenge, is to help educate them. And though you have this employee assistance program, these are really the key areas that they're helping you in. This is what I do differently. And your employee assistance program, they're just not designed to be able to help you in those pieces. They're actually going to pass you off to somebody like me to assist you.
Is this something that is not being addressed by larger companies just because, well, let me ask it a different way. I'll interrupt myself instead of interrupting you.
Fabulous.
As I listen to you describe this, I could see where it would be difficult if you're a large company to say, how can I monetize this as a service? And you're driven so much by your passion and your love for people and your concern that you had a vision first and monetization second. For a large company, it's always about monetizing first. Is that a challenge to figure out, how do you turn this into dollars in the marketplace?
It depends on the case. With the larger companies, usually what we do is work within what their budget system is and try to look at what other programs and services have they had in the past that would be similar to what we're doing, and trying to work within their budgets. I don't like to have like a menu of pricing. We do for some things, but not for all of it, because every company is unique in what their needs are. And until we get that feedback, that's why the feedback from the survey is so crucial to what we do. So we can say, this is what your employees wanted. This is how we're going to help them. And studies have shown that for every dollar spent on wellness initiatives, which this is usually part of, it's a $1 to $3 return on investment. So to let companies know that whatever you're spending, you're going to get back. Even if it's one employee, for example, I work with a law firm, one of their secretaries came into the human resource manager really stressed out. She was going to have to take family medical leave. Mom was going in for surgery, just out of her mind, stressed out. They contacted me. I connected with the secretary, spent 5 minutes with her discussing what she needed to do and be proactive about it. She did those things, came back 1 week later to the human resource manager, a completely different person, her stress level way down, and she said, I don't need to take any time off of work because I have everything put in place. That just saved them not only that employee taking family medical leave, but the pressure that it would have put on all of those other people that she works with who would have had to pick up the slack and her work while she was gone.
Is this, you know, and that kind of story is the story that we want the people that listen to this to hear, and we want them to forward it, because it seems like if you're, you know, particularly if you're a large company, you know, for smaller companies, there's budgetary issues and hosts of things that everybody gets, especially right now. So what you'd like to do is tempered against reality. But if you're one of those large companies we talked about in the last week's show that's sitting on balance sheets filled with cash and looking for things to do with it, those kinds of stories ought to help persuade them it's a good idea. It seems like one of the challenges might be that, you know, when we think of employee assistance, it usually, I think most people think of counseling. And this is employee assistance that's really education. Is that a fair distinction?
Yes, absolutely. Proactive education is key to helping these employees. Getting in there, hopefully before the crisis occurs, and giving them the information, giving them the tools. I would say caregiving is like being dropped in Japan without a tour guide, and you've got to get to a specific location in a certain amount of time, and you have no idea what you're doing. So to be able to go in and be that tour guide and say, here's the path you take, here are some different action steps you can take to get to where you need to go, you're going to get there faster, you're going to get there with your stress level down, you're going to feel more confident, and it's going to be a better experience, not just for that employee, for their family member they're caring for their siblings and other family members that also participate in the caregiving, and especially for that company where that person is showing up to work, they're alert, they're attentive, their stress level's down, they're productive, and they're also not putting that burden, again, on everyone else around them. It's not just about the work that is put on other people around that person when they have to take time off. It's also when they're coming to work stressed, and most of us spend most of our day at work. Those are the people we connect with. They become our friends. So you're chatting with your coworkers about what's going on with mom or dad, which also then takes their productivity level down. So it really has that ripple effect to everybody around them. So when you can go in and diffuse that ahead of time, proactively, it helps that person and all of the other people around them who aren't caregivers but work directly with that person.
Well, Sue, we're getting near the end of our time. I want to make sure you have a chance to tell people, how do they find you? Give everybody the contact information.
Well, if you want copies of my book, you go to alongcomesgrandpa.com. Or if you want more information on Aging Info USA, you can go to aginginfousa.com.
Terrific. Well, Sue, I want to thank you for being a guest on the show, because I think this is great. We're going to do everything we can to circulate this and promote it. And I want to thank you on a personal level. I know that you changed the life of my household, and I think you can probably do that for a lot of other people. So thank you so very much.
Well, thanks for having me, Brent.
You bet.
Absolutely. Bravo.
All right. So, and Mike approved, so we know she was a good guest. So next week, we will have Mike Schnitzler as a guest. We're going to stay with this employee benefit theme. Mike is a business development officer for Insperity, formerly Administaff. We'll talk about what's going on in the world of healthcare and other benefits. So that's it for today. I'm Brent Hamacek from Segway. And thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to having you next week, along with Tom, if he's back. Take care.